Blog Talk Radio. family, peace and love. I hope everybody can hear me. All right. I think I'm good. Hey, fam. How's everybody doing out there? Oh, my. I know Mama was away for a minute. Again, you know, Mama's got to live her life, okay? Things are happening. I'm happy to say I'm now a Mrs. Mama. I am a Mrs. I am so happy to be wed to this amazing Nubian king. Y'all used to know him as Honeylish, but now he has upgraded to Hubbylish. My king, he's awesome. So we are just coming off of a week of honeymoon and relaxing and enjoying each other's company. And, you know, so many different things have been going on. You know, I don't know how to really have, like, a complete vacation. I don't know how to, you know, sometimes I can, but it's rare when I'm able to just unplug it all, leave the phone alone, not do anything. You know, sometimes I got to be in a country where I got bad phone service to be able to do that. However, I didn't overindulge in a lot of what's happening. I tried to just stay in a very recreative role, you know, role and just chill, enjoy love, eat well, relax, get sleep, you know, all that kind of stuff that's, like, really important. Hi. You know, and get sunshine and enjoy my love's company. So everything is going well. I give all praises to the Most High. Woo, honey, yes, I do. Yes, I do, because there's just way too much going on. And I have people in crisis. I got people losing loved ones. I have people going through depression. I've got a lot of different people in my circle that are going through a lot of things. And I think that part of what I'm going to be touching on tonight does have some things to do with that. Honestly speaking, we are going through a lot of frequency and a lot of vibration, family. There's a lot that's happening right now with us. And most of us are unaware of what this means or where it's coming from or any of those things. And we've, you know, a lot of us are still stuck in the bamboozlement behind the pandemic and the tenderoni shot and all this kind of foolishness. I have decided to, especially for this episode, unplug from that. I'm not going to focus on that so much because it may come up, but I'm not making it a specific point of contention or even subject matter for tonight because there's something bigger and fiercer happening. And I think we need to tap into that. First, I want to start with the crazy, ridiculous Olympic BS. I'm calling it out. Yes, I am. You know, we've had some issues with some of our amazing athletes, particularly our athletes of color, particularly our athletes that might call themselves black. I'm trying to get out of the habit of calling myself black per se, only because I know that black does not exist in the color of law and that it's not recognized as a human being in the color of law. And so I know that I'm a human being and I'm a very powerful entity, so I'm trying to change my lexicon, so please bear with me as I will make mistakes, but I am really seeking to make sure that I entitle myself and other individuals that look like me with the right title, okay? And that's another story. We'll talk about that another time. Or you can go back in some time onto the Neo Nation Network and look up the Ethiopian World Federation episode. I think it's about maybe three weeks ago, where they had a beautiful Moorish brother on, and he was breaking it down, okay? So, you know, I'm talking about, you know, just who's really a human being in the scheme of things. You know, very interesting as far as I'm concerned. Nonetheless, these particular athletes, predominantly female, have had some issues with this year's Olympics and the Olympic Federation. Okay, we do know that the sister, Sha'Carri Richardson, had been suspended for a month after testing positive for, like, having THC in her system, which is really BS. I talked about that, like, a few shows ago. That's a bit ridiculous as far as I'm concerned, even though she knew what she was doing and so on and so forth. But, like, we're not talking about opiates. We're not talking about crystal meth. We're not talking about anything that has to necessarily be, you know, put together in a chemical lab. You know, we're just talking about weed. So that really kind of ticked me off a little bit. And she's so fierce, so I could see why they would want to hate on her because, and they've been hating on her for a while, actually. But she's just so fierce, so I hope that she will do what she needs to do and come back and kick tail. More recently, we know little sister Simone Biles, gymnast extraordinaire, broken records, has most medals, all kind of things. For whatever reason, my sis could not get it together enough to stay in the competition this year, which I found to be a bit disturbing because she's so phenomenal. And she was just talking about how the pressure was too much and how you just have to be 100% all the time and all these, like, to me, relatively inhumane mindsets, if you will. You know, I mean, I know what it's like to have to be on top of your game. I know what it's like to, you know, have to really perform and have to make it happen. I understand that. But when it starts to take the glee out of your heart, when it starts to take the joy out of you, and it just becomes this overly competitive for no reason to a certain extent. I mean, after all, we're just talking about a sport, okay? So it gets so ridiculous and out of control, and I think that that's kind of deep. When I really go into it, it kind of really vexes me a bit because in the scheme of things, first of all, this should be for joy and happiness and, you know, expressing yourself. And it's turned into this really, like, super-duper, out-of-control, overly egotistical, plus competitive, plus world-whatevering. It's just too much. It's too much. And it's deep because the origin of the Olympics doesn't start with white European peoples. Let me just go there, okay? And don't get mad at me, all right? You know how I am. I am a, you know that I am a historian, okay? I am a researcher. I have been blessed to have the blood of a professor inside of me. My mother was a professor, and she was extraordinary, Ibaye Mami. My father was an avid reader, and he loved history. And so I was surrounded by this in my comeuppance, if you will. And so for my entire life, I've always researched and looked things up because I had that kind of mother who, if you asked her a question, she'd tell you to go look it up. So I've looked up everything under the sun, daggone. I really have. And so it was deep because when I was a child and we would watch the Olympics when I was a little girl, and this is back when the Soviet Union was still a Soviet Union, and you had, like, gymnasts like Olga Korbut. You never even had a black gymnast for a very, very, very long time. You know, we were really just in track and field and different things like that, but we really were not throughout the Olympics. We weren't in the pool, Punkin. We weren't in the pool. We were very rarely on the tennis court. We were very rarely, I don't even know we were on the badminton court. I mean, we were really, really shut out. They did not want a lot of us to participate because they also knew we would win, okay? But the origin of the Olympics, just stay with me for a hot second, you know, is that from 776 B.C., okay, 776 B.C., I need you to understand this, 776 B.C., okay, there were Olympic Games that were held areas of Phoenicia where melanin-dominant humans used to reign, live, and thrive. And the games were originally constituted amongst warriors of different clans to just basically show their strength. You know, you had, this is where the shot put. So if you look at the Olympics, nowadays we got a lot of other garbage inside the Olympics as far as I'm concerned. You got skateboarding in there. You got, like, ribbon twirling. You've got the ball thing. You've got all this extra whatever because, unfortunately, the melanin recessive individuals, and don't take offense to this if you are melanin recessive, but the melanin recessive individuals had to, like, kind of create new competitions that they might be able to compete in, because the areas that we continued as melanin dominant people to stay dominant in winning, they were just not winning. So they said, okay, we got, you know, let's think of some other little things that we can give the children to compete in, because they ain't never going to make it in basketball. They're not going to win in track and field for speed. They're not going to win for a various amount of other things. And then they tried to hold us out of being able to train. I'm talking about modern day society. To train in swimming, like I said, badminton, BMX bikes and all those types of things, skateboarding. You know, they didn't want black people to do those types of things. They didn't want melanin-dominant humans to even enjoy any of those things. So, and you all know we ride a skateboard like a mug. I'm just saying. Sean White is nice, but, like, real talk, I know when I watch brothers and sisters on skateboards in the city in New York, like, awesome. They just don't have the money to compete. They don't have the money to train. Or they really don't care about it that much, and it's just a pastime that they can do. Meanwhile, they're working on bigger things like maybe a degree in chemistry. Anyway, I just think that we need to realize the origin of the Olympics, and that in 2021, we got sisters and some brothers, but mainly sisters, having issues because they are putting all types of constraints on these people, these wonderful people. They really are. Everything about how your hair can be, you know, and that's why when you see Nubian or melanin-dominant humans in the Olympics, especially the women, and they're competing in gymnastics or whatever, and they've got the worst perm ever, the hair is terrible, it's just flying in every different direction because it's dead, and if you had maybe let the child keep her own hair and just put it in a bun, perhaps she'd have been able to thrive. But it's a whole other story when it comes to the Olympics because it's been whitewashed. And it's annoying. I get a little vexed, you know, when I see so much whitewashing going on. It's really ridiculous. The culture vultures are out of control. And I am not aiming to offend anyone in my commentary this evening. I am speaking the truth. Y'all can learn this from the book Stolen Legacy by George M. James. Like, just, it's insane how much of our culture, history, rites of passage, everything has just been stolen and usurped by these other individuals. And then they try to squeeze us out of it so that we can't afford to compete. We can't even afford to do anything dealing with the sport. We won't have the money, the extra money. How much extra money you need to play tennis? You do need some extra money. It's not just about the rackets and the balls. You also got to have, where are you going to play? Do you have access to a free court? Do you have to belong to a country club? Can you get a good coach? You know, back in a few months ago when I was talking about the amazing Nubian dominant, melanin dominant, female cowgirls, cowgirls of color, amazing women, and their biggest issue was that they can't afford a good trainer to be able to compete the way they want to. And they're really, really good. But they all said that if they had the right trainer, that they'd be the bomb. And so you've got white trainers who are deliberately not training young girls of color because they know that they'll win. So this whole thing about the Olympics is deep. And I learned a lot about it when I was in Greece when I was a teenager. And we're in the museum, and I'm looking at all the vases, and I'm looking at all these different artifacts and what have you. And they've got these jet black statues on them, these jet black people running, competing, jumping, what have you, doing all types of calisthenics and different things. And I'm like, whoa, you know, because at the same time, I was studying Phoenicia in junior high school, and I had a white Jewish teacher, racist ass, pardon my French, but she was, and I'll never like her, and I never have, who basically tried to embarrass me when I came back from Greece. She knew she had given me Phoenicia as a subject to study and to do my book report on, and I was just elated at the fact that my parents had chose for us to go to Greece
for that Thanksgiving. I was like, ooh, this is better than anything because I'm doing my report on Phoenicia, so I get to go to what was formerly called Phoenicia, okay? Because those areas of Europe and those little islands and what have you, you had a lot of Phoenicians that were there. That later becomes the Greeks, okay? But mind you, the first ruler of Greece is a black man, just like the first Caesar of Italy was a black man, was a Nubian man, a melanin-dominant man. Maybe not Nubian as in from the country of Nubia, but definitely a melanin-dominant man who came from Alkebulon at some point. Because it is right under it. The Mediterranean Sea is littered with beautiful little islands which have beautiful people of color inhabiting them, okay? All throughout the Aegean Sea, the former Minoan Empire, all these places had melanin-dominant humans that were thriving and doing exceptionally well. So here we go when we create the Olympics, us, hi, how you doing? And we rock out at it. And it's just something that was done. Okay, the javelin, that's a weapon. The shot put, that's a weapon. When you think about it, these things are weapons. Archery, weaponry, hello, not just running. So you have endurance and strength and all these things in these what we would call melanin-dominant Olympics. So it gets under my skin knowing this and then being in today's day and age and seeing our sisters like Simone Biles, like Shari Carter, like even Miss Osaka, the beautiful tennis player. You know, y'all trying to give these chicks nervous breakdowns. Because you figure if we drive them crazy, then they can't compete and they're out of the way. Think about that for a second. It's deep. So just know, when you're looking at the Olympics, you are looking at melanin-dominant history. You're looking at something that was formulated and originated by beautiful people of color in the Mediterranean area that would come together every 4 years, same time frame, every 4 years to compete. And I am one who also feels that the blackout that occurred from 1776 through 1503, I believe, it took a while because, again, people of color were under attack during that time. Think about that for a hot second. Not that we got out of attack in the 1500s. No, it just continued. But you have a moment of time where we're being persecuted. Now, if you're being persecuted, do you have time to train? Not really. Okay, you trying to throw javelins? And, no, some of this is you're having to do just for your own survival. Hello, good morning. Okay, or I should say grand rising. I'm trying not to say good morning anymore either because I'm not in mourning. Again, I'm trying to just really change my lexicon and it's dead English language. It's dead. It's a dead language, y'all. Ooh, have mercy, it's dead. So anyway, let's go on an adventure, okay? And before I do that, I just want to say happy birthday to all the Leos. It's Leo season. Get your roar on. Get your roar on. Happy birthday to all the beautiful, amazing Leos. I know so many, too many to mention, actually. But happy birthday to all of you. And happy anniversary to anyone who's having an anniversary. Happy getting ready to go away to college to any of our beautiful, young, brilliant minds that are getting ready to go matriculate and make it happen. I will always be pro-education because ignorance does not help us at all, and so we need to know things. You know, and even though schools have been deliberately circumvented by other powers that be like Rockefellers and Carnegies and so forth, there's still a plethora of knowledge that we can obtain if we decide to study on our own. So that's going to lead me into my next little subject because, I don't think y'all know what time it is. Remember that song back in the day, do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? Do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? Do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? Oh, baby, do you know? Because I kind of do, and it's a little disconcerting, and I'm just trying to hold on to myself, but it's real. Taking a moment to just give a quick shout out. I see you 973640. That's awesome. 347-622-8627-66 and 914-979. Peace and love, everybody. How you doing? If you want to drop anything in the chat, feel free. If you're not online and you're just on the phone listening, awesome. Welcome, welcome. Hugs and joy to everybody within sound of my voice because I'm getting ready to go deep. You know, right now I'm calling myself the Nubian Chicken Little right now, okay? Remember Chicken Little and she was talking about the sky is falling and nobody wanted to listen. That's how I feel sometimes. And I know it's not without reason. A few years ago, not even a few years ago, that's not right, over 20-some-odd years ago, I began to reread the Bible. I had read the Bible as a child, read the Bible as a teenager, read the Bible as a young adult, and then began to read it again. And it was deep because I was in Genesis, and I enjoy reading about Genesis. I'm not one that gets too big on the New Testament because I know the New Testament is a lot of conflagration and a lot of lies, but you do have some books that are on point within there too, such as John, Luke, and Revelations. And there's probably a couple other ones that I'm not that deep, like the Corinthians and all of them, I'm not beat. But I was in Genesis, and I came across Genesis 1:26, and it says, quote, "Let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, etc." Now, for whatever reason, I had read this before, but now at this new stage of consciousness, these many decades ago, I was like, whoa, who is us and who's our? Because I had always known about man being made in the image of the Creator. I understood that part, and I also understood that they were talking a lot about, you know, the fact that we're endowed with certain gifts and we're sapient, and I've touched on this before in other episodes, but, you know, we're highly intelligent. We have a conscience. We know that there's a higher aspect of life. We know that there's a creator. We know that we're symbiotic with things, some of us. You know, we're very supreme in that way. And so I knew about that part. But this us and our stood out so hard for me that I began to go down my own personal rabbit hole. And down this rabbit hole is where I ran into more on the story about a planetary system called Nibiru. Now, Nibiru, N-I-B-I-R-U, is known in certain Bibles as Wormwood. It's known as the Destroyer. It's known as the Red Star Kachina in the Hopi legacy and prophecy. Nibiru is also known as Planet X. Now, I think about 20-some-odd years ago, NASA was trying to understand why Pluto was experiencing a wobble. And wobbles in space don't just happen, okay? Wobbles in space happen because there's some type of electromagnetic pull. There's some type of other object that has its own gravity, has its own trajectory, and has its own orbit, whether it's elliptical or not, and it can pull on other heavenly bodies. So Pluto was wobbling, and they were like, what is going on? Now, mind you, the Dogon of Mali, West Africa, Mali, West Alkebulon, had figured this out eons ago. Eons ago. They knew Pluto had a wobble. They knew that there was another planet that had an elliptical orbit that would come into our immediate solar system and then go back out far, far, far away. And it takes at least 3,600 years, yes, 3,600 years, for this particular planet to make one rotation around the sun, okay? So you already know this is Earth. It takes us 365 days to make one rotation around the sun. This particular planet I'm talking about, Nibiru, takes 3,600 years to orbit around the sun. And depending on where our immediate solar system is, because it is mentioned that it is a member of the family of our solar system. So most of us believe that we've got nine planets, right, and a sun and a moon, okay? Planet X, X also represents the Roman numeral 10, all right? So it's not necessarily planet X as if it has a question mark and we don't know anything about it. It's actually the 10th planet. And in some writings, it's the 12th planet because they considered the sun and the moon other heavenly bodies. They didn't have to necessarily be planets per se, all right? So aside from our nine planets, and I continue to keep Pluto as a planet, you're not going to tell me it's not, because the ancients knew about it and the ancients wrote about it, and Pluto has its own very serious energy, and so we can't discount that, okay? I don't give a damn what Neil deGrasse Tyson has to say. He's wrong. And he knows it anyway, but he's getting paid for to say it. I'm not getting a dime. The universal creator blesses me. And so I'm going to tell you the truth. This is why we're here, fam. All right? I am not called Black Alice in Wonderland for nothing. All right? A.K.A. Nubian Chicken Little. Real talk. I got other names, too, but we're going to stick with those two right now. So I'm discovering that this our and this us in Genesis actually has to do with inhabitants from Nibiru, also called Anunnaki. Anunnaki means children of Anu. Naki means children of or followers of, but it's really like children. And Anu is a ruler. Also, Anu is a star that is associated with Nibiru. Feel me if you will, and hold tight. Just hold tight. So we've got this amazingly large heavenly body, which is very close to us now. At that time, 20-some-odd years ago, they weren't really looking for it. Then Hubble came about, and they saw it, and they were like, uh-oh, oh, crap. Really, real talk. NASA, other space stations around the world were like, what is that? Even though many of them knew about it, but still the general consensus was shock, because here comes this big bad boy deep out in the horizon, closer now, and they were like, what's going on? Okay, especially the ones that maybe didn't know, maybe a subordinate that didn't necessarily have the knowledge or the information or the storyline or know anything about a Nibiru, an Anu, an Enki, Enlil, Ninhursag, Marduk, all these different individuals. Nobody in there, they didn't know. Okay? So I've studied this quite in-depthly, and it's really intense because we're there. And when I say we're there, I mean that the return of Nibiru is upon us. It is clear in our sky, especially if you are in the southern hemisphere of the earth. So South Africa, the South Pole even. That's one of the reasons why they went to the South Pole and they erected that huge telescope, because they really wanted to get a bird's eye view on Nibiru coming up from the south. And so you've got the South Pole Exploratory. You've got the Lucifer, yes, I said it, Lucifer Telescope in Chile that is sponsored by the Vatican. Hello, good morning. Okay, Grand Rising. You have other telescopes and other major universities and different places all around this globe that have been tracking this bad boy and looking at it. Meanwhile, a few years ago, people in Europe and also some people in the southern hemisphere were starting to hear the trumpets. Okay, they're called the trumpets. Now, the trumpets are also listed in the Bible. This is information that's in the Bible. Okay, and they're talking about the trumpets sounding and what have you, and the trumpets being a part of the seals and all this kind of stuff for the last days. And the last days do not mean the end of the world. The last days mean the end of an eon, the end of an era, the end of an age. So we have moved from Pisces, the age of Pisces, into the age of Aquarius. One age is about 2,150 years. So we have just moved into the beginning of the age of Aquarius. Very powerful time. I've talked about this before because it's a little tumultuous. Yes, it is. Some people are going to have a hard time handling it and dealing with it, and I understand that. But at the same time, I keep saying, try to eat right, breathe fresh air, okay, get your vitamin D on by sitting in the sun, keep your chakras spinning in the right direction, stay positive, you know what I'm saying? Try not to be sad for too long. Try not to allow too much drama in your life because it'll weigh you down. And the heavier you are, you won't be able to transcend. Okay, I was also reading, I don't know if I can find it, I might not be able to, but I'm going to talk about this another time. I was reading about some other biblical portions that touched on what would happen with humanity in these days and how the frequency of the planet is shifting greatly. And that there will be many a human that will not be able to handle this frequency shift. Now, I've spoken about frequency quite a bit on this show for great reason. One of the reasons I talk about frequency so much is because as a human being, excuse me, we are subject to frequency. If the frequencies are too high with certain waves, if you will, if there's too much radiation, like right now, in the atmosphere and in the air and everywhere around us, then we're going to get sick, okay? Part of what I feel is going on with the plandemic isn't necessarily germ-based, but wave-based, and that you've got people who are suffering greatly from radioactive exposure because the symptoms for radioactive exposure are the very same symptoms for what we would call a COVID-19. So that's not a coincidence because there's no such thing as coincidence. But 5G has already been revealed as a military weapon. Okay, it's a way to hurt people. And just because it's invisible doesn't mean it can't hurt you. There are many forces that are invisible in our world that I think too many of us are just oblivious to, and they're really powerful forces. They're actually more powerful than things that we can actually see. We cannot see ether. Ether is the fifth element. It holds everything together throughout the entire universe and omniverse. We can't physically see it, but it exists. It is very important. We can't see oxygen. Not really. Okay, we can't see what we're breathing unless it's cold outside or you've got something else that's going to chemically react with it. But under normal circumstances, I can't see my air around me. I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out all the time. I'm blinking if my eyes get a little too dry. I'm swallowing. All these things are happening. But we can't see our air. Just like with certain emotions, you can see the behavioral manifestation of an emotion, but you can't see the actual emotions. You can't see anger. Just like you can't see love. You can see acts of love and acts of anger, but you can't see it itself. Are you following me? So frequency is very, very important because if it's out of balance and if it's wrong, it's detrimental to life. Human life, insect life, fowl, fish, everything, everything, plants, everything. And so we got a lot of frequency popping. Couple that, if you will, with a planet that is about three times the size of Jupiter, possibly. Out in the cosmos, coming this way, visible to the naked eye. It's visible to the naked eye now. Now, I remember when I first saw Nibiru. I first saw Nibiru when I was in, I think I was going through Arizona. I was on tour, and I was going through Arizona, and I took a picture of it because it was behind the sun. And it still accompanies the sun. In some instances, in some places, they're experiencing two suns. If you look into the horizon on two different sides, it's like you have the sunshine. We know on a regular day, we don't really have that happening. So we're not in a regular day, fam. The earth has shifted its axis four times in the past few years, meaning that she's upset. The earth is upset. This is why we're seeing what we're seeing. And no one's really talking about it, which frustrates me just a tad, and I try not to get frustrated. But no one is really talking about how the severity of the storms that we're experiencing has increased exponentially. Think about that. And they want to talk about global warming and climate change. Okay, I'm saying right now, F that. That is not what it is. We got a huge planet with seven moons on its way here. That is what's heating up this planet. This happens all the time. It's just that we don't live long enough to see the whole thing pop off. But it's in history. It is in our history. I think that they said the last time Nibiru came through was the volcanic eruption of Santorini. So I just want us to be a little bit more aware. And you can look it up. You can, like, don't Google Nibiru because it doesn't, Google is so shady, it's ridiculous. You got to DuckDuckGo. Okay, go to DuckDuckGo and put in Nibiru, N-I-B-I-R-U, okay? And put in Nibiru 2022, if you will. All right, now we've been talking about Nibiru for a while. A lot of people thought that we were going to be all up the creek with no paddle in 2012. 2012 was not the year of Nibiru. I knew that anyway. Me, myself, Ty Phoenix, Dr. Winborn, there were a few of us who really knew that that wasn't it. That was the Blue Star Katina. That was the twins. That was the time of the twins. And the twins, yes, they passed. That's a sign. That's a true sign. It's actually in the Bible as well about the twins passing. And after you see the twins passing, then you have to look for other events and other celestial events that are happening. So if you do get an opportunity to go online right now or even later to look at the pictures that I put up in the slideshow for tonight's show, I'm showing you where Nibiru is in the horizon. I'm showing you why it's so important for us to understand, and overstand about deluges, flooding, okay, not just comets, but you might even have two stars collide by next March in the Cygnus system, the Cygnus star system. The word Cygnus means sign, okay? So we're going to have a major cosmic and galactic event with the clashing of two stars in Cygnus, in signs. This was talked about in the Bible. Now, again, I am not a very religious person. Y'all notice I'm highly spiritual, but I'm not ignorant. I'm not ignorant. I know that the Bible was written many, 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 many years ago, and it was a compilation of various books that mankind had been able to interpret and compile for all of humanity. But unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church specifically took many important books out of the compilation that we call the Bible. So the Apocrypha is not in there. The Book of Enoch is kind of shady. It's not as full as it needs to be. You've got a lot of books that, you know, the Book of Jasher, the Gospel of Barnabas, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Thomas. These are books that are not in their totality or in there at all. All right? So if you've got a bunch of different books that you can put together, like the ones I just mentioned, including the Nag Hammadi Library is very important, and that was reinterpreted by, I think it's George Robinson. I know it's Robinson. I have that as well. There are many wonderful books that we can definitely glean a lot of information and a lot of knowledge from, and I urge you to please look up the ones that are not in the Bible. I also urge you to look up A Book of the Beginnings. I think it's by Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y. Book of the Beginnings 1 and 2, okay, as well as the Book of the Enuma Elish. Write these things down. I'd be telling you I'll get a pen. Like, write these things down. Mother has had these books in her possession, and I've read them from over 30 years ago. These books are absolutely stellar. It'll break it down. It'll break down even further the work of Zachariah Sitchin, or sometimes some people call him Sick Then or something, whatever. But Zachariah Sitchin was a formidable force on Sumerian history and the Sumerian epoch, and talked a lot about these entities from Nibiru, known as Anu, Enlil, Enki, Ninhursag, Marduk, and so forth. Look these things up when you get an opportunity, beloveds. I'm telling you, your mind might get blown. Okay, I'm not joking. You might want to have a nice clear glass of water so you can breathe deeply and get a hold of yourself when this is popping, because I'm telling you, by studying this level of information, it's going to open up your consciousness and perhaps open you up to a point where you'll be able to really see what's really going on. Why are the powers that be taking trips to space? Why did Elon Musk, why is he just begging to go to space? Why did Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, have to go into space? Why are they talking about building satellites and places where people can live on the moon? Why are they talking about leaving Earth? Now, aside from the fact that they're messing her up themselves anyway, especially when it comes to too much nuclear energy, as well as that daggone particle accelerator and collider in CERN and in Switzerland, they're messing with vibratory frequency enough with that. But I'm telling you, with Nibiru coming in full steam ahead, so much is going to go out of whack so quick it's not funny. Now, we can pray for salvation. We can pray for safety. We can pray for longevity and that our food systems will not get completely monopolized and jacked up, although they already are by Monsanto and GMO. But that you can pray. Just, I'm serious, because people have seen meteors go by. People, there was a huge flash in California. People are seeing all kind of things happen. People are experiencing earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes that are stronger than ever recorded history in the world. These are the signs. These are the real signs. We got a lot going on. And what's interesting is that, excuse me, this was mentioned by several other scientists. You know, people have tried to drop dime on it. People have tried to give a little skinny on it, you know, but a lot of times it just gets buried. You've even had news reports that have come on lately where they have talked about, and this is in the past few years, not just this year really, because everybody has just been so COVIDized, but you have newscasts that have talked about this new incoming planet, a heavenly body out in the distance. What is that out in the distance? What is next to the sun? Why do we seem like we have two suns? What's going on? And all these things are really, really relevant to what I'm talking about right now. Now, there have been some serious signs that have occurred, and I want to share them with you real quick. Stay with me, because it's a lot. Now, according to, like, in the Jewish feasts, when they have Jewish feasts, you've got a blood moon tetrad, okay? In 2014, these are the things that let you know that this bad boy is coming. In 2014, Passover, April 15, 2014, we had a blood moon, okay? And that was in the sign of Virgo, signifying the mother and the bride of Christ. Then on October 8th of 2014, you had another blood moon in the sign of Pisces, okay, which signifies the house of Israel, the two houses of Israel. Moving forward, on Adar 29, which is March 20th of 2015, okay, the day before Nisan, or March 21st, Nisan is the first day of spring, the sacred new year and the spring equinox and the sign of Pisces signifying the house, the two houses of Israel. They call it the sackcloth sun, meaning that there was an eclipse, a huge one. Then, April 4th, 2015, Passover, okay, again, in the sign of Virgo the Virgin, signifying the mother and the bride of Christ. This is a blood moon. Then there was the tabernacles on September 28th of 2015, again, in Pisces, signifying the two houses of Israel. That was a blood moon. That was called the blood moon tetrad. Okay, this has already occurred. This is a sign of one of the seals. Now, I don't know if you all understand that in the Bible they talk about the seven seals. That's one of the seals. All right, we have a lot of seals that have been breaking, if you will, okay, and revealed to us, which is what revelation means. When I spoke about the trumpets, that was deep. I saw a video, I think it was in Finland or maybe Norway, where they heard the trumpets. The trumpets were loud, honey, and it was deep to me because it was sort of prophetic. I had heard them before, and it felt like I had heard them in another lifetime, but it was a sound I will never, ever forget. And the trumpets, if you even Google Nibiru trumpets, you might be able to find some videos where, you know, someone's got their window open and you can hear these loud, loud trumpet sounds. Oh, my God. And they're not overly melodic, if you will. So it's like, ooh, well, you're like, what is that? Seriously. I'm going to see if I can pull any up. I'm going to see. I don't know. What is that? I'm looking to see if I can find a video for you. And if I can find something that at least sounds like it, then I can play it for you. Because I heard it and was like, oop, and it struck me. Some people also saw Nibiru during the last solar eclipse, you know, because you can see it. I'm just saying, it's visible. Okay? It's visible, fam. That's the part that I think we need to really understand, is that it's visible. Before, people could just talk about it. You know what I mean? Now, you can actually see it. You know, I have seen it. It is not a joke. And I believe that this is the reason why we're experiencing so much perturbation, if you will, and so much of a disturbance in our weather, people's energy. People are still going to trip out, I think, because we have, now everybody then got the tenderoni shot, and that has so much crap in it that people are bugging out because of that too. But okay, I'm like, if I deal with one thing at a time, or attempt to deal with one thing at a time, I can try to break it down a little better for you. I'm trying so hard to find the sounds that I'm talking about for you, because this particular video I'm looking at is not being succinct enough. Anyway, I'm going to keep trying to look because I know YouTube is taking a lot of the videos off of YouTube. Which is a little disturbing because they're just trying to hide, and that's annoying to me. I don't like that, you know, but this is real, and this is something that we really have to learn how to handle. I'm not saying for us to panic. I never, ever suggest panic. My advice would be to get right, first of all right, if you know you ain't right and you know you messing up, if you know you've been very negative and you're not doing beautiful things for your body, you're not loving yourself, you're not being one with nature as well. And like I always talk about, going outside and taking off your shoes and socks and putting your feet on the grass and connecting with Mother Earth and her love and her healing vibrations, you might find yourself in a heap of trouble. Not that the rest of us won't, but I'm saying this because we're talking about frequency. We're still talking about frequency. And so some of us have so many metals in our bodies that we will be susceptible to more negativity than other individuals. There's a really amazing brother. I talked about him before. He's on Instagram. His name is Yankee Awakening, Y-A-H-N-K-I, I believe, Awakening. He's a master healer. And he speaks a lot about how it's important for us to eat the right things and to try to take flesh out of your diet if you can, you know, if not, you know, cut back if it's possible. But do yourself a favor, you know, drink your alkaline water, eat fruits and vegetables. You can even do fruit detoxes with seeded fruits. Hi, you know, like make sure your watermelon are seedless. Make sure your grapes are seedless. I mean, not seedless. Have seeds, Lord have mercy. Because I keep trying to tell us that the Monsanto GMO seedless agenda is very sinister. It's very heinous. And so we've got to really be mindful. Okay, fam? We have to be mindful. My cigarette smokers out there, you may want to pull that back. Okay, try to stop. You know, if you're just indulging too much in something, whatever that thing is, just try to slow that down. Okay? Some of you may be indulging in too much shopping or too much sex even. Too much indulgence in sex is very bad for you. It might feel good, but it's not good for you. And it's the same thing with overindulgence in other things like gambling or shopping or eating or whatever. Like, overindulgence is overindulgence, and it's never really healthy, okay? So before I bring in Dr. Winborn, I think that's him right there, as I look on the board, and I want to thank everybody again for being with us tonight and for listening to me. Because you're not really listening to me. I'm compiling information throughout the weeks and throughout the months to bring you some real serious subject matter. Because this right here, they're not talking about this too much on the news, baby. Okay? I need you to know. Like, this is not something that they're talking about a lot. You know, they may jump in and out of it, but not really. And all the other stuff that we're being bombarded with is a very serious distraction. Okay, meanwhile, I think we have thousands of deep underground military bases. They're called DUMBS, D-U-M-B-S. You have a lot of people who are billionaires and millionaires who have built underground safe havens for themselves. I've seen a lot of the underground, the footage of underground facilities, if you will. They go miles under the ground. They extend labyrinthly for miles and miles and miles, and everything is down there, trucks, campers, cars, people who are delivering food, all kind of stuff. Because, again, you know, people have a tendency to panic and to be afraid of what they don't really understand. Now, in some instances, you have some that say there's nothing we can do. And when they say there's nothing we can do, it basically just means that by having this humongous heavenly body on its way, and they're not exactly sure where it's going to pass in between. It could pass in between Mars and Venus. Okay, it could pass in between Venus and Earth. That we really don't want. That's a little tight. But it's definitely going to cause some issues for us, okay? It's going to cause some hiccups. It's going to cause some drama, and it already is doing so. So, again, like I said, all that flooding that they just had in Germany and Belgium, earthquakes and potential tsunamis, and all these things are happening because this bad boy is coming through. Okay, it's, like I said, this is not the first time. It's just that it happens every 3,600 years. So not many of us can be like, oh, yeah, I remember that time it came back last time. No, because we don't live that long. That's why I said when I heard the trumpets in a video, it struck me to my core because I felt as if I've heard that before live. And it was in a different lifetime. And I am connected to some of my other selves and different lifetimes that I've lived. I know I've been here before. So that was definitely something that shook me, as well as beginning to study Nibiru, Atlantis, the Anunnaki, the creation of man, the transition from Homo erectus to Homo sapien, you know, and just the power that this thing has. Whew, this thing ain't no joke. I don't know how else to tell you. This is not a game of joke or a drill, though. It's not. This thing is nothing to be toyed with, nothing to be played with. This is real for us. And, you know, while we're being castigated and baited with all types of different propaganda at one time, this right here is something I think we need to really focus on. Okay. Nibiru is also known as the red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. Again, if you look in the picture gallery from tonight's episode, you're going to see some of these pictures of Nibiru as it moves through the constellations and what it means and what the biblical connotation of it was, because that was the other part. Okay? So we had our first sign, which was the Blue Star Kachina and the twins. Then we had the tetrads and the sackcloth and the blood moons. And then it says, in John chapter 12, a second sign appeared in the sky. There was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And if you know your constellations and how they move, if you will, which is what Kemet was all about, like Kemet was so amazing and dynamic because the Sphinx with the age of Leo and the Sphinx looking outward, you have some who have been able to make trajectories based on the north, south, east, and west points around the Sphinx in the zodiac to look at the cosmos to really explain where Nibiru is and what, how it's represented in Revelation. Okay, so just know that your red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns is Nibiru. It has, I think it's got 7 moons and 10 other satellites that move with it. It's a storm of crap, literally in the sky, moving. It is moving. I'm not joking. This sucker is fast. And it looks winged, depending on your juxtaposition to looking at it. So it's red, it's hot and it's red, it's got a lot of iron around it, and it looks like it's got wings coming up on it because of how fast it's moving. The wings are like dust, cosmic dust, which can have anything from other satellites to other little meteors and things involved in it and little asteroids and what have you. In it as it moves. That's why sometimes it is called the destroyer, because when it comes through, it bombards Earth and the moon with a lot of other heavenly bodies. Like, you know, they're trash, but they pack a wallop, okay? You know, so we have to, again, this is one of the biggest fish in the pot, fam. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and they're trying to polarize us and make us afraid of each other. Let me tell you something. I ain't beat about that. I'm not beat about no COVID schmovid pandemic. I'm not beat. I'm not. This is way bigger. This is huge. This is something that we really might need to pay a little attention to, because it's going to affect us later. Again, there are parts of the Bible where they talk about come out of the city. Most of our cities, a lot of our cities, unless you're inland, are, you know, we got a lot of coastal cities around on this beautiful planet. We have a lot of coastal cities. They've been talking about Venice has been drowning for decades, that the water is just too high in Venice. Venice was cute in its time, but right now Venice is flooding. It's been flooding. You have other islands in the South Pacific and other places in India and other places in Asia that are flooding exponentially. Everybody, oh, it's global warming. No, there's a planet coming. It ain't nothing new, but there's a planet coming. It's hot. It affects our sun a lot. All right, we got to prepare ourselves. If we experience coronal mass ejections, CMEs, okay, do you have a backup power source? Do you have a generator? What do you have? What do you really have to help you sustain yourself? I'm not joking. Hubby Lish and I left the city for a reason. He left before I did. I left New York. I went to Jersey. I left Jersey. I'm in the country. We are in the country. I'm happy. And it's deep because we had to do a little swoop down last week and come into Brooklyn. Ay, 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 ay. That was like hellacious. I could not wait to get out. I could not wait to get out. I couldn't wait to get out of New York. I couldn't wait. It was horrible. Too many buildings are coming up. It looks like a nightmare. It looks like a bad movie. I don't know. It just looks terrible. So much congestion. The traffic was absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Because they're putting buildings up everywhere, but no one's widening the road. How about that? Mm-mm. Okay, that's stupid. I see so many horrible things happening just because you don't have any egress. You don't have ways for people to be able to get out safely. Everywhere you go is traffic. Everywhere you go, you're running into just more and more traffic. That is not good if you're an individual who's about to have a heart attack, a stroke, or give birth, or something terrible is happening and you need immediate aid. You're not going to get it. Have you ever taken the time to think about what your contingency plan would be if the power goes off? I need you to think about these things. Do you have gasoline for your generators, even if you have generators? Maybe you have something that's solar powered. Are you charging it in the sun? We can experience any one of these anomalies or whatever. I don't want to call it a disaster, but we could definitely experience any one of these any day. At the rate that Nibiru is moving, we can any day. Any day it can happen. Any day. Okay? They're basically saying that Nibiru is now... it was perihelion to our sun, but that was several years ago. That was like 6 years ago. Not anymore. That bad boy is here. And I'm like, oh no. Like, because I really honestly didn't think that it would be something that we would experience in this lifetime. I didn't think I would experience it in this lifetime, but I guess it's like, well, it's now or never. Like, wow. That's all I can say is wow. I pray for everyone. I pray that a lot more of us can really learn what's happening. Okay, I really need us to understand, understand, and overstand. that this does not mean the end of the world. It's the end of an era. It's the end of a time frame. I need you to hold on to yourself and your loved ones and your family, okay? And again, I need you to project as much love and positivity into the universe, into the cosmos as you can. The universe loves you. The universal creature's creator loves you, loves all of us. Try to stay as positive as you can, because this right now, it's about to get real thick real quick. And I just need us to hold on. How about that? I need us to hold on. So please, you know, and I always talk about being good, and people think I'm being corny. No, being good means be good. Please, be good, because your negative energy will be your demise. And trust me, you do not have any time for that. You don't have any time for that. No, you don't. So I want to open the line of 973640. 973640. Alamo, are you with me?
Man, I am with you.
Hey, Doc.
Greetings, greetings. How you doing tonight?
Peace and love. I am awesome. Thank you so much, and I'm sure you are probably blessed and highly favored.
You know I am blessed and
I know you are.
And sitting here listening to you share such insider esoteric secrets. When you first started, I went into the chat and I put up stop, just stop, because we're not ready. But just listening to you, I'm thinking back. I'm like, wow, I have not had this conversation. I think in a serious manner in about 11 years. It was 2011. I was on a radio show in Charlotte, North Carolina, and this was the topic. And to sit tonight and listen to you talk about it, it just brings back so many memories and it triggering so many other additional thoughts. I too have seen some of the pictures of Nibiru, and I've kind of convinced myself that, well, maybe they Photoshop, maybe they, you know, using some type of filter or something.
Niall, is that what I'm hearing, Niall?
Yeah, no, I don't know. You know what I'm saying is I convinced myself, so that might not be the case at all. And that really is Nibiru. But the amazing thing is that we get these initial understandings from the Sumerian texts.
Mm-hmm.
Sumerian civilization predated the Egyptian civilization. And they told these stories that most people wrote off as myths, but they told them like it really actually happened.
Right.
And so when you understand the Sumerian myths, the stories, other things in the Christian Bible begin to make sense. When you had those questions, like the one you said,
right.
Let us make man. You follow me? You know,
right?
Well, who was us? Like, who
right.
You
I was like that. But I came across that in those years, 20 something years ago, and I got to having read the Bible, what have you? And I was like, okay, us, our,
right? Who's us? Right.
Plural. This is plural.
What do you mean? Replenish the earth. You can't redo anything that wasn't already done. And then it make you think of things like the in the scripture where it says that the sons of God married the daughters of men and created giants in the land. And we now understand these giants to be called the Nephilim. And we are finding those skeletons and those bones, all over now, the story. The story is real interesting because a part of the story, when we're talking about the Anu, we're talking about Anunnaki, Anil, and Enki, the brother, the two brothers, and the war between the two brothers.
The
Sumerians talk about a race of people that they brought here to Earth to mine the gold in the earth. Mind you now, mind the gold that's in the earth. They was taking the gold. They had to take it back. They was taking it back to their system and put it back into their atmosphere.
Right.
They needed it. But what we don't realize is that we now are breathing in and out gold. Gold particles is a part of our DNA. And so if you believe the Sumerian text in the story that they bought this race of people here called the Aegeans, bought them out, and then they revolted and quit. And they created a race of people,
right?
A labor
because
force.
The Agigi or the Agigi were they were basically committing mutiny. They were like, we don't want to do this anymore. Lil was tasked with having to mine all this gold, and he was like, okay, and he took them to work. They did not like it here. Our sun rose and set too fast for them. They were like, it's hot. We don't like this. We fit and did not work for you anymore. And so he didn't want to be chastised by his father, Anu. So he starts to think about things. And then he, confides in his sister and his brother, Enki and Ninhursag. Ninhursag or Ninti, she was the master scientist, the master geneticist. She knew how to splice genes and how to create test tube people, basically. Let me know when I'm not right, Doc.
Right.
And then,
I mean, so it was an amazing story, but I said all of that to say that all of it continues to relate back up to where we are today. So much that you've talked about, so much that's going on in our atmosphere, because it is a vibratory frequency. You talk about the trumpets. Well, the trumpets that you hear is the vibratory frequency because of the other planets that are now in the neighborhood. Okay,
right.
So remember now, when anything that's moving is creating waves and vibrations, and those vibrations, when they come together, they collide, they make noises.
Right.
So we're
right. The frequencies basically
they're
and create noise.
Right. So these are the sounds that people are hearing, and because I've seen the videos too, in other parts of the world, and they're bugging out like, oh my god, what is that? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? And it is straight, and it does sound like trumpet blowing. And you think that the walls of Jericho was about to fall down.
Right.
Come on. But, so much you said. We have moved out of an old age. It is the end of the age. It's not the end of the world. We're moving into a new age, the age of Aquarius, which is the age of enlightenment. Okay? And so people are waking up. There's a whole thing now called woke movie. What is that about? People are waking up. Why are they waking up? Because we're getting different light code information, okay? Because we're sitting in a new area in the planet. So things are changing, and people are catching on. Like one thing Paul said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. What does that mean? That means in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you have an epiphany. It hits you. You'd be like, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden, you have that change, and you cannot go back to the way that it was before.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't know how close Nibiru is. But my guess is that the Sumerian texts are right, which it looked like is right from a lot of things that we see going on. I had anticipated years ago, I was teaching that we were going to be having these experiences because it was being a pole shift, because we had moved into a different, our whole solar system has moved into a different neighborhood in space.
Right.
And so that we would be experiencing these things. And, with the fishes, you see tons and tons of fish just wipe up on the shore, whales, and sea like creatures wipe up on the shore.
Yes.
Because they travel based on frequencies and vibration. They're following those frequencies.
Right.
And when the poles change, the frequencies become off. The same thing. Why you see a whole bunch of birds just flying to a wall? Why? They lost their frequency.
Right. Yep.
You understand?
Everything.
These are the things that we are experiencing now. Now, there's no need to panic. We just need to know what's going on and prepare ourselves. thank God that we don't live in a part of the world where we are suffering geographical damages, you know, not as of yet, with the great floods and things that we see going on in Germany. I was looking at a videotape today, and there's great big mountains in China just collapsing.
Yep.
There's floods because the planet is heating up, and so the ice capsules are melting and it's creating more water.
Yes, oh yes. And this is the thing that gets me, because I'm like, I don't want to see or hear another stupid scientist talk to me about climate change and global warming as if it's just
right.
all man-made.
No, it's
what's
not.
Happening
it's a natural cycle.
Again.
And so here's the thing you got to remember now, just like you said, the cycle is 2,160 years.
For an age,
right? And so we are now in the age of Aquarius, but we are only at year 21 out of 2,106. So we're in the infant stages of the new age. So all of this will balance itself out over time. I think there will be some losses. We've experienced some losses. I think that there's a real negative energy that will come about in this part of the world, in this country in particular, that's happening, that we are experiencing now. And I happen to think that it's all relative. I happen to think you need to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that when he said to be fruitful and multiply, that's because God understood that we were co-creators. And we had the ability to create. We have the ability to manifest and pull things together. And by the same thing, vibration frequency. Everything is vibration. Everything is vibration. In the beginning was the word. What that mean? In the beginning was the vibration.
Yep.
Okay. And the vibration was God, and the vibration was with God. Science says that's how we get light, the laws of attraction. So we have the light. We have the string theory that brings us to the string theory and light entanglement, and coagulation that then creates DNA.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, you know, I can go. I'm sitting here. I don't want to take up time. I see that the queue is full. But, very good information. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, and I gave shouts to everybody because I just really wanted to bring this into the family's sphere of reality. It's really important for us to know, KNOW, what is really going on, what we're dealing with, you know what I'm saying? Because everything is just so jumbled up, and they want everybody to, you know, follow the Pied Piper in the news and all the different levels of propaganda that are happening. And I'm like,
wait,
okay.
Let me interject for 1 minute, just for 1 minute. I don't want you to lose your thought. But I do know that Rev Ron, the marketer that he is, you know, he's out and he's doing promotion and people calling the show. And I know that they're calling, it was a topic like this. I know that they have questions in time because I know that he did it before. So people call in and was dying to ask you a couple of questions and couldn't get, and they called me later and chewed me out. So if it's possible, if we can get a couple of some of the callers in that are calling in, if they, you know, if they want, we're not in pressure, but we want to give them an opportunity. I always let people know that Queen got so much information that most of the time we don't get to take from the callers. But if you would oblige me, that's just one.
You know, but I, and that's no disrespect to the family at all. It's just that most, 9 times out of 10, I'm just trying to get so much commentary in for you
all to
chew on and research on your own amongst yourselves. But I don't have a problem opening up. It's 8:26 right now, so we got a little time. 347-622. 347-622. You are live on the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. This is your host, Queen Amina. How are you? 347-622.
Okay, they're not there. So then let's
Yes.
She's there.
Good night to you, Queen. Oh,
how are you?
I know that voice. I know that voice. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to your program, and it's very interesting that the sister brought this topic about Nibiru. A lot of people are not paying attention, but this presence is very much here with us and causing havoc already as we see the weather system, how it has changed. But as she said, much people are paying attention, and they're speaking of global warming. And we have to understand is really the presence of this planet Nibiru, which is a serious entity that comes among us every 2,800 years. So no one would have lived long enough to tell the story. But indeed, a wonderful night, and I'm just really listening in.
Thank you, Queen. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Wonderful. Just took some time off to listen to you on your program for Mondays. So I promise myself I will listen to my sister a little bit.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Honestly, I know who this is, so I'm very grateful that you had the time to come in tonight.
Good. Wonderful. And it's a great topic. So I'm just going to be in the listening in as well, okay?
All right, darling. All right, you have a blessed day.
Everybody, that's right. Katie Gomez, the host of the Ethiopian Royal Federation Incorporated, local number 26, that come on Sunday night that we spoke about earlier.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in and being a part.
Okay, you're welcome, guys. Keep up the good work.
Okay. We have Tadata. Sorry, one moment. We have 708-475. You are live on the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. How are you? 708-475, your mic is open.
All right. They just listening. Thank you.
Indeed. Ashe.
Ashe.
Is the 914-979 Rev, or maybe one of Rev's friends? One moment.
Yes.
914-979, your mic is open. Welcome to Black Alice in Wonderland radio show.
All right. Peace and blessings to you. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Peace and blessings to you, too.
Yes, indeed. So the subject matter that you guys are speaking about is very relevant and very great that, you know, it can reach into the minds of people and to be able to really have them see the full picture of things. Because you're right. You know, it's a good thing to be able to know, you know, when you do see all these different situations around us, where is it really coming from, you know? And then the other side of it, which I think is really important, which you guys touched upon, we need to even look at it a little deeper, and that is the fact of our true identity of who we are. Because once we start to really realize that we are sons and daughters of God ourselves, and
Indeed. We
do have the innate power to do great, awesome, and amazing and supernatural things, then we can really actually do that. Because I just recall, you know, when I was first starting out, you know, just being a spiritual healer myself, and I was trying to get some things done because I wanted to see, is this really true what Jesus said, that the things that I do, you can do and even more? Was he climbing around that day, maybe drinking too much alcohol or something, or what? What was the deal, you know? But then when I actually tried to utilize his spiritual healing power, he gave me the ability to give wisdom back to the blind, healing back to the deaf. And, you know, there's a few people on their deathbed, I was able to help them as well. And I said, wow, this is real. We do have that innate power within us that we can do supernatural things that, you know, this society has told us, what, are you kidding? You can't even get up out of bed properly. What are you talking about? You're going to be able to do this or that or the other. So that's, you know, the reason why when you hear this kind of stuff, it's always a situation where people are saying, you got to be kidding. You really did this, you did that. And that's the thing. We do have the ability to do these things. But even with these chronics that are, you know, shifting in our direction and causing so much turmoil and problems, we can come together in spiritual unity and turn that around. Not only
right.
So we can also come together in spiritual unity and deal with some of the problems that we have as a people in our community as well, and in the world community.
Yes, Brother Val, I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to cut your wisdom, but we got the clock ticking on us. We got some more people
we want to get in.
Thank you.
No
thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. What I want to say, have a beautiful week ahead.
You as well, my sister. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. I love what he touched on, because I'm going to talk more about that in the weeks to come, and talking about the power that we really possess. And that's why I kept reiterating about how our thoughts create things. And so we've got to find our power in that and focus on like a very beautiful and a wonderful reality for each other, you know, a healing, a loving, embracing reality that we can program, if you will, our manifestations, and that we can really see them come to fruition, okay, individually as well as cumulatively. We are mighty and amazing entities, and it's only because we have been drowning in a dead, pardon my French, European construct, which does not allow for infinite possibilities to blossom. It's the opposite. It's closed-minded. It's tight. It's restricted. It's finite, if you will, when that is not the world we really live in. We live in an infinite, infinite world. Our minds, our brains, our potential for our reality is infinite. So I thank that brother for touching on that, because I'm going to be going there in the next few weeks with, on the show. Like, you know, despite that, yes, we have a planet coming with many satellites and moons, but the inhabitants of one of those satellites look just like me and you. Chat! That'll be an interesting day. Anyway, let's go forward. 929-206. 929-206. Your mic is open. You are live on the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show.
Yes.
How are you?
I am blessed, highly favored queen. I am R.A. Robinson, and I've been listening to your show for a little while, sometimes just listening. But the trumpet that you were talking about, I heard. All right,
see?
I was on a program, and they were saying something else. It was strange. They didn't know where it was coming from or who this was, but in my spirit, I knew what it was.
Yeah.
And it's something else. I am not familiar with everything that you are speaking about or blessing us with, but I will. Continue to listen and study, because I'm studying everything at this time.
Yes.
Right, and it helps. And everything that you're saying also is biblical, you know, which is the first thing. And
right.
I'm just blessed.
Thank you, Brother Robinson. It's always a pleasure when you are able to come on the line.
So God bless you.
Indeed, and blessings to you too from the amazing creatures, creator, always.
You know, one second, we still have a lot of plantations here. You know, we're talking about sports. So those plantations, so the NFL, the AFL, basketball leagues, all these other things, you know, and they all run into the thing of, you know, if something goes wrong, are we sick, master? You know,
right, music labels too.
Yeah,
don't
music labels
those.
As well, you know. So on, and I don't get myself so much excited about sports. I didn't know why at one point, but I didn't. It's been for quite some time, but I didn't like it. For me, when I was like 18, 19 years old, I said, this looks like a plantation.
and what does all of those things have in common? Each one of those things that you just mentioned, what do they all have in common? One thing. And that is to entertain our oppressor.
Yes. And keep us
to
off,
entertain
off the mark.
Our oppressor. Right. Right.
Yeah. Mhm. And the deep part is that originally, you know, with all of those entities, aside from perhaps like movie production, but you know, we created music and we played and ran and did things, you know, to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
to recreate ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so what winds up happening is that our awesome universal given talents become exploited by an entity that, A, can't do it as well as we do it, and B, has found a way to monetize it for themselves so they don't have to do it anyway.
Okay, you know, and that's absolutely true. When they back years ago, they said, "Oh, our bodies were not fit for ballet."
Right.
You know,
oh yeah.
We weren't smart enough to be quarterbacks.
Yeah, or gymnasts.
You know, everything we've ever gotten into, we've aced it.
Come on.
Not only aced it, took it to a whole new level.
Right. Always. A whole new level. Always speed skating. All kind of stuff they said we're not supposed to do.
Even ice hockey. You
know, so. Well, we created that.
Yes, we did.
And so when I talk a lot about, you know, the origins of things, I deliberately do so that we, the family, can really see our contributions in our societies and cultures around the world for freaking time in memoriam. Like, what we've been able to do and what we've done, in spite of, despite, whatever, we've still been able to thrive and do things in a way that nobody else can do.
Yeah.
And that's something that we have to learn how to cherish. Because I don't even think that we don't cherish it enough. There are too many of us who are still following that carrot, if you will, you know, as that horse with that carrot on that stick in front of it, you know, never getting the carrot, if you will. But at the same time, we never need
always
the
growing
carrot.
The carrot.
Right. Yeah, growing it, producing it, bagging it up, putting—I mean, our contributions have just always continued to be astounding. I love. I always make jokes and say I love me some us. I love us. I know who we are, and having been able to travel all around the world and see our presence and see our reverence and respect in every corner of the world I have been in. And that's just me personally. There are some countries I haven't been to yet. I haven't been to India yet. I haven't been to China yet. But the love I get in Japan, Indonesia, all throughout Europe. I mean, when I say all throughout Europe, even in Germany, yes, is amazing to me. So when we know who we are and we show up like that, the game is over. It's just the fact that so many of us still don't know who we are, and so we can't show up.
Yeah, and we criticize ourselves and criticize one another and doubt ourselves. You know, how can you do that? You know, that's not possible.
And a lot
they're
of that
not
is just,
let you do that, you know.
Right. Most of that is programming from our enslavement and colonization. So what we have to and I always say this, that wherever we went, everywhere, including here in North America, everywhere we've gone, we civilize wherever we've been. We're very civilized. They colonize. And colonization is with brute force and rape and murder and theft and deceit and lies and all. We don't do that.
No.
So we're not colonizers. I'm happy to say that part. You know, we're civilizers. But what's been happening, and then put the pedal to the metal to make sure that we behave and or are portrayed as most barbaric, uncivilized individuals. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, first of all, you've subjugated me throughout the entire planet for 400 years. You ran with a narrative false and wrong since day one, but you're still running with that bad boy. You've stolen everything. Like I said, the culture vultures have been out of control. You know, so now we do look ridiculous. Now there are many of us in positions of, say, maybe financial advancement, just that's it, nothing else, who are demons. To me, they're like demons because you're not behaving as your true self. I have a very hard time with some of these new artists, and they're not artists to me because they're not even making art, but
this little young rapper, Lil Nas X, and them running around in the video naked and kissing and just being deplorable and completely degrading every essence that the melanin dominant has ever really represented on this planet. Like, really? You give all of this for a check because your little confused, naive ass doesn't know any better? Oh, they love that. So they love to support. You know what I'm saying? And so then you'll get even more little young black boys to be like, oh, okay, yeah, being homosexual is great. And I'm not downplaying or trying to be disrespectful to anybody in the LGBTQIA community. This ain't got nothing to do with that. That's an agenda that they have put upon us since they sodomized your great-great-great-grandfather in the damn slave farm in the South. So now it gets assuaged. Now it gets molded in like everything is just groovy and fantastic. And that's a whole nother subject matter I'm not gonna get into. But I'm just saying you have these individuals who are willing to act and willing to debase themselves and their children.
They know not what they do.
Right. But they're getting that check.
Yeah, that's what they
do. So, and just real quickly, what I do want to say, because I'm finding, you know, I'm having a hard time with this, and, you know, I give thanks. I'm grateful to be smart, and I'm grateful to be intelligent, but I'm also very grateful to be enlightened. And with that enlightenment, it means that I cannot put myself or affiliate myself with specific types of industries that I know can be detrimental to other people en masse. So I couldn't work for the medical industry because the AMA has been subverted by the Rockefeller Foundation for a very, very long time, all against homeopathic medicine, all against, you know, nature and what have you. So I can't work for them. I can't get paid by you because I know what your real agenda is. I can't do it, right? Same thing with the plandemic and the tenderoni shot. I will not be an advocate for the tenderoni shot. I will not even be an advocate for wearing a mask. I'm not doing it. I overstand biology. I overstand cytokine storms in the body and that your body is what creates a virus because you yourself are toxic and something has flared up within yourself. I am not co-signing more than half of this ridiculous, insane agenda. Because I know it's an agenda. It was event 201 and 202 and 203 now. We got agenda 2030. We got things that are on the books, family. I'm not making this up. This has been on the books. So now you have people going door to door to try to give people the tenderoni shot, specifically in neighborhoods where people of color are thriving. So those of us who have enough intelligence and say, okay, I'm going to ride this out and I'm going to maintain my own immunology. I'm going to keep myself healthy and strong, get my rest, drink my water, be positive, get my vitamin D, et cetera. They're coming for everybody and trying to make it seem like those particular individuals, something's wrong with you for not going along with this agenda. Again, that's propaganda 101. Most of us in the homeopathic community are well aware of what to take, how to eat, what to do to not have any sickness, not even a common cold. But unfortunately, so many people have been vaccinated by other vaccines. I'm not even talking about the tenderoni shot. I'm talking about flu. You know, people get an annual flu shot. That's poisonous. People get, you know, DPT and MMRs, and some people have to update and what have you, depending on the new job they're getting and blah, blah, blah. All of vaccines are full of garbage. They're toxic as I don't know what. So now you're at a point where everyone's over-toxified, and so, yeah, anything can well up inside of them. Just be weak. It can just well up inside and just do whatever and cause all kind of problems. Along with, like I said, we got way too much radiation going on, and people are definitely experiencing an over exposure to radiation. This is not a game of joke or a drill. The planet is shifting. All kind of stuff is happening, and people are just wanting to watch Family Feud with Steve Harvey. Come on, man. We're not there. And we've got to stop taking money for wicked things. Even if we seem
that's
like,
true.
Oh, we need money. Oh, I needed the money. I'm like, we've got
that's
to
true.
Come out of that. Every woman within the sound of my voice, your vagina ain't got nothing to do with your rent. You should have enough intelligence to know how to do something and have a skill set so your bills are paid and you don't have to prostitute yourself, no matter what you think it looks like or what you want to call it. That's what you're doing. We have the same thing with men these days.
Yeah.
We're doing yeah. things for money that are leaving marks upon the soul. No, sorry. So I'm hearing this from other people. I'm hearing people who have stock in Moderna and in Pfizer. And in, I don't want no stock from them companies. I don't want none of their money. I don't want any of it. I don't want any blood money. But we're not paying attention. And we're aligning our energies with demonic forces. And you think that that demon ain't going to get a hold of you? You think you're going to come out unscathed because all you did was buy stock, or all you did was go to knocking door to door to knock on Mr. Johnson's door and hound him about getting the tenderoni shot because you need a job? Like, I'm just sick of the how we just really compromise our integrity in large ways and small ways and remain ignorant and dumb as to how our demise comes to befall us. It just bugs me out. Bugs me right on out. And I hear this from people all the time. Some of them are even close friends. And I'm like, if y'all do not stop doing the devil's bidding, please, because it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you in the long run. I can't even work for Philip Morris, the big company. I can't work for them. I can't work for liquor companies. I don't care how many cocktails I might have. I'm not working for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to change so many things. And I know not everybody's going to make it. We know that. The violins are playing. We know this already. But I'm just like, if we could try, because the bigger scheme and the bigger picture of what our reality is being shaped into becoming, y'all ain't going to be ready for that at all.
Yeah. A lot
we
of us
really
are not.
We got to fasten it. We got to batten down them hatches. Stuff is really starting to morph, and we have to get a hold of ourselves. And if we are talking about coming together, banding together, you know, utilizing our collective consciousness in the proper way, these are some of the things that need to be done as well. We've got to realize that when we lend our energies to negative forces and negative agendas, you will not be blessed. Again, I am not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. But all of the books that I have read from the Nag Hammadi libraries, the Lotus Sutra, the Book of the Beginnings, all these powerful, amazing books, all the way into Islam, like The Straight Path, The Secrets of the I Ching, all these different books that I have read and been able to understand, overstand, and understand to the best of my ability, they all say the same thing. You cannot have yourself attached to negative forces. In any way, you must do your best. You must do your best. So, you know, brother, I thank you so much. I got 9 minutes left.
But,
you know, thank you so much for being with us tonight, you know, and have a wonderful, blessed week ahead. And hopefully we'll see you again on another episode, okay?
Yes, you shall. Dr. Winborn?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know.
Yeah, I sent you something, a lecture from Dr. Ben, and I couldn't stop listening to it. It's an hour and 40 minutes.
Of Dr.
It
Ben.
Seemed like it's, I was just taken as much as I've talked to him before and went to his lections, him and Ivan Van Sertum, what have you, but this particular one is really riveting, and it flows with, sister, what we're talking about.
That's right.
You know,
well, Doc, send it to me, please, when you get it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I love Dr. Ben. My mother taught tutelage under Dr. Ben as well as Dr. Van Sertima. When I was a little girl, she used to take me to the different universities and colleges where he'd be speaking, and I got to meet him as a child and as an adult.
I lectured with him, well, this is back in the 80s, at Vanderbilt College, you know, and that was in 1981. You know, but I've been sort of with John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, you know, Dr. Jeffries.
Dr. Clark as well. He like they. Yes. These are the giants that I keep trying to hold up. I'm going to keep holding them up anyway, but are the giants that we must hold up.
Yes.
These men, these people, even Dr. Francis Kelsing.
Yes,
their intellect and their foresight and insight, as well as their expertise having traveled to and fro from the land and Nubia and Kemet and Punt and these wonderful places. And I've been in North Africa. I haven't been to Kemet yet. But, you know, I've been in to North Africa, South Africa, and West Africa. And,
West Africa myself. Yeah.
And I love Africa. I love her. She's just amazing. And, again, you know, we've got to get our heads out of the clouds and realize that we're amazing and beautiful and that we must be responsible for what we do and think as well and begin to really culminate our thoughts on transcending this next era. This is going to be fierce for us, so we got to do what we have to do spiritually so we can transcend. Whether we physically make it through or not, it's still very important to maintain a very high frequency in your thoughts,
Amen.
You know, regardless of whether or not you are physically present or not, because your soul is eternal. You know, I want us to just to always remember that, you know, and again, I thank you, my brother, and have a wonderful week ahead.
You also. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Peace. Yeah, Doc, I have one more. I'm going to try to squeeze it in. 347-478. 347-478, you're on the air. You are live on the Black Album. So, hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're the queen.
How are you?
We need to make a change with everything going on.
Yes, we do.
And I am one that's believed in a lot of things that you've said. We have to come to a time when, what are we going to do? Are we just going to stand there? Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. I'm with you. Yes, I am.
Are we just going to stand there? Or what are we going to do, Queen?
Well, one of the most important things that I'm continuing to reiterate tonight is that we've got to raise our frequencies. We've got to raise our emotional and physical frequencies as entities. We have to. We must see the good and the good in each other. We must see it. We must acknowledge it. We must do good. We must wish love and peace and light onto others, whether they are your enemy or your friend.
Because the Bible says,
the
most
enemy
of all, love one another as you would love thyself. That's what Jesus said.
Ashe.
Amen?
Yes.
But what we have to do today is realize what is happening to us. And when we look on the 90th Psalm, it says, you don't want any plague to come towards thy dwelling. Just like you were saying, oh, you don't know what they're doing. This thing could be fake, and oh, it could be all this stuff, right? But the bottom line is that when you're under God's anointing, amen? And say, Father God, let no plague come not to thy dwelling. You see? Because what's happening now, I see it just where I am right now, 10 people done died. You know, and when you have people dying around you, affects you. Amen?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So right now, I'm trying to make a change where I am right now. And guess what? I had a heart attack. And just came back And I'm also the director of the Bronx for Project NEO, you know, Dr. Wilmington.
Yes.
And we're making a change. And I'm saying, listen, y'all, we have to come together.
Yes.
Forget about all the stuff that you heard. This is the reality of what's going on right now. Because I've been through a hard time. Let me tell you something. If anybody told me I'd be going through what I went through, I was 15 days in Bronx Lebanon Hospital, the same hospital my mother worked for. You know, and she had got an award as a nurse. And then here I am, 15 days. I suffered, Queen. You know? Anyway,
yeah.
You're the best, okay?
I just best though.
I respect everything you say.
I say, and bless you, and I wish you a wonderful, as speedy as it can be, recovery. Take your time. Make sure you get that vitamin D, though. Make sure you go outside and get sunshine. All right, I hope he heard me. I hope I was audible. Okay. Doc, I know we're rounding that corner. The Reverend couldn't come on tonight. He's just been Mr. Busy, huh?
Yeah, he's been Mr. Busy. Yeah, I guess.
I'm not mad at him. I know he's building. I'm like, keep on building and also trying to free the people. This is what we're trying to do, fam. You know, but
this is
it
what
is
we're trying to do. And I know he's
okay.
On the stage, so if he couldn't make it, you know he likes to talk. So if he's not here, you know he must really be doing something important.
No, I know. I'm going to hit him up when we finish. You know, it's 8:59 and the time always flies. You know, I'm so always elated when we have these times together. And I hope that I didn't frighten anyone this evening. I really wanted to bring this to light for the family so that you could do your own research and begin to prepare for yourself and begin to look inside yourself, actually, to make the changes that are necessary for yourself to sustain and upgrade. It's really, really, really important. I need us to evaluate real hard. All right? Some of us think that we have friends that are not our friends. Cut them. Okay? Some of us think that, you know, we're working in a job that's just absolutely fantastic, but meanwhile we're working for the devil. You might want to change your occupation. Like, there's so much happening, and we must be aware. We must. And we must strive to go higher, reach higher, do better. I always talk about we can't do better till we know better. So this is why knowledge and enlightenment are so important. Lastly, one of the things that I love about Hubby Lish and I and these wonderful rings that we had made by this beautiful sister in Philly named Sister Sharita. They're custom-made rings, of course, but there are signs and symbols on them. And these signs and symbols are to help us to stay true and integral to ourselves and to each other. And so I want to just tell you what the signs are because it's mixed, okay? It's not just one thing. On one side, I have Jin Yame. Jin Yame is a powerful Akan Ghanaian symbol, which means I fear nothing but the Creator. I fear nothing but the Creator, okay, which is really real because I don't really fear no man. The next symbol is a symbol for Sankofa, okay? Sankofa, the bird that has its feet facing forward and its body is facing forward, but its head is towards the back, and it's catching an egg in its mouth. And that egg represents the power of the past and that you can't know where you're going until you know where you've been, okay? So that reminds me to always stay true and integral to my history and to my ancestors and to my former selves so that I can be the best I can be. The next symbol is the Ankh, A-N-K-A-H, which represents Amun, Amunet, Nununet, Kekeket, and Hehehet, which are actual properties of existence in the metaphysical realm, as well as life itself, the essence of life, okay, air and water and land and all that is alive, life, and to cherish life every day. Every day. I cherish life. I talk to the trees in my yards. I talk to the animals. I love my family. I love my husband. I love my people. I love his family. I love all my friends. I mean, I love, 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 love. And I always have been, and I will. I will continue. But keep that essence of that special love for life alive in you. Don't get caught up in the stupidity. I always say, turn the TV off. Listen to the birds sing, or go where they are so you can. Or somewhere where you can listen to fish jump in the water. Beautiful. That's music to me, as well as real music, okay? The last symbol on our rings is the Eye of Heru. And the Eye of Heru represents courage, being heroic, being wise and smart, okay? Having the courage to fight, know what you're fighting for. How about that? Having vision, supreme vision, as well as I like to look at it also as utilizing every aspect of my brain, because it's a lateral view of your brain from your cerebral cortex to your pineal gland to your medulla oblongata. Brainstem, all this kind of stuff is there. So please, you know, I just encourage us to utilize our African symbols, you know, look into the Akan Adinkra symbols, look into the Kemetan symbols. These are multi-layered meanings in each symbol. It's not just, this is the sun. No, 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 no. Or the eye of it. This is, no, no, no. It multiple meanings and multiple layered meanings, significant value from a scientific to an esoteric standpoint. Embellish and embrace it. Okay? I wish everyone a wonderful week. Doc, I hear you back there. Have an awesome week ahead, my dear brother and king. Bless you, bless you, bless you with all the work that you're doing with myprojectneo.org and the Ethiopian World Federation. Again, congratulations on your new nomination as president. I look forward to speaking with you again more on these things and bringing the organization or a chapter to the area where I'm living now. And with other like-minded individuals, you know, it's time for us to be on one accord. It's time for us to love each other, have faith in indeed. Each other, have respect in each other, and trust. Say again?
I said indeed. Indeed. You're absolutely right. So you know, we look forward to that, putting that together. So as soon as we get a chance, we'll sit down and start building on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, 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 yes. Because I'm excited about it. And again, just like super congratulations. You know, the family might not understand what I'm talking about, but y'all can look up the Ethiopian World Federation as well as on the Neo Nation Network. Their program is every Friday from 7 to 9 on this same network, okay? So you can call in the 347-857-1311, or you can log in and go online to the Neo Nation Network to do so. We're doing big things, family. You know, big things are happening, so I would say go hard or go home. You know, do your own research, learn about Nibiru, learn about the Anunnaki, learn about the essence of our creation and how amazing we are as melanin-dominant human beings. Know that when they say we are made in the image of God, we are made in their image. The universal prime creator's creator does not have a specific image, but the Anunnaki do. I'm just saying they got a profile. You know, just learn how to make these types of shifts in your life, family. You know, consciousness is everything. What you believe is so real to you and what can manifest in reality for you. So create something in your mind that is the antithesis of what you know you don't want to experience. How about that? Okay, let's get into some real beautiful manifesting and manifestations of our reality that serve us and don't hurt us. All right? And if you see these young people out here and they wildin', yo, check them. Go with the spirit of the creator's creator and check them. because they don't know any better, and they're just flying on autopilot and about to fly into the mountainside. Just help them out. You know, but be love and light wherever you go. Be your divine self wherever you go. You know, project your reality as best as you can. I know I keep reiterating that because I got a lot of people going through a lot of stuff, and I'm just like, the power is yours. The power is yours. Okay, so hone it, learn it, claim it, utilize it to the best of your ability and to the best of others. Okay, do not be selfish in this life. Meditate for your ancestors. Light a candle, a white one specifically, for your ancestors on a regular basis. Talk to them. Pay homage. Give love. And be as loving as you can to those in your immediate circle, your spouse, your friends, your immediate family, you know, people who are, quote, unquote, close to you. Do not be afraid of giving too much love. Don't. Even if you get hurt, it's okay. Because you gave love, and more love will come. All right? Don't turn yourself into a turtle and not want to give any love, okay? And I love turtles too. But give love. Be love and light, and shine your light brightly wherever you go, family. Okay? We are in some serious times. It's time to get real and right and righteous. All right? Be responsible for your tongue and your actions, and your thoughts. And again, let's program a real fly reality, okay? We deserve it, and it's time. All right, so God willing, God is willing, I will see you back here next week, same beautiful Nubian time, same beautiful melanated channel. Trying to change my lexicon, like I said. Again, I give a shout-out to Dr. James Winborn, the mighty Reverend Ron Robinson, all of the other co-hosts on the Neo Nation Network, sister that called in, Sister Susie, I think her name is. Amazing. Susie Gomez, is it?
Sadie Gomez.
Sadie, thank you, Sadie. Mm-hmm. Beautiful human being, you know, again, spreading enlightenment and knowledge to the planet and to the family, and, you know, give them support. Okay, support any and everybody who's giving you some truth right now, fam, because there's enough lies going on. So support the truth and support love and light. And be amazing. Be amazing as you are, because you really are. Okay, I love everybody in the sound of my voice, especially my husband. And, of course, the ancestors, my mother and father, and the great creator's creator, the prime creator, the all, the most high. I give thanks and wish everybody a wonderful, fabulous week ahead. Okay, shine brightly. Ooh, I keep saying shine brightly because some of y'all are walking around looking hopeless, and I can feel your energy. And I'm like, don't do that to yourself. Okay, don't do that. Rise up. Rise up. So I'm going to end this on something else tonight. It's going to be short and sweet, but I love it. And here's a shout-out to the great Nina Simone. Love and light, family. Thanks, Doc. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Okay, peace. One love, family. One love. Ashe.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
dragonfly out in the sun. You know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun. You know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done. That's what I mean. And this old world is a new world in a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Send out the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new